Matthew 23:13, read. He's talking to pastors, bishops, apostles, anointed ones, dressed in robes and collar backwards, those who are in the ministry. Read together, go. Woe to you bishops and pastors and anointed preachers and those called evangelists and those anointed ones. Woe to you who? Teachers of the law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. Why? You shut the kingdom of heaven up in men's faces. You yourself will not enter, nor will you allow the people who are trying to get in to enter. He says the number one obstacle to kingdom is pastors. There it is.
In a world of globalization, economic uncertainty, terrorism, culture clash, family disintegration, corporate distrust, youth disillusionment, political confusion, and religious corruption, the wisdom to navigate successfully through life is necessary. Welcome to Living Effectively. Living Effectively, a program designed to provide wisdom, insight, information, and inspiration to effectively face the challenges of the 21st century world. Living Effectively.
Hello, I'm Patrice Francis, and on behalf of Dr. Miles Monroe and the leadership here at Bahamas Faith Ministries International, I'd like to welcome you to Living Effectively. We're so happy that you chose to join us today. You know, whenever a kingdom is established, it's established because the king of that kingdom is interested in influencing as many territories as possible. It's the same with the kingdom of heaven. God as king, as sovereign ruler, is interested, more than interested, passionate about extending his rule, establishing the culture and the principles of heaven on earth. But if we're going to be used by him to colonize, if we're going to be used by him to extend his influence on earth, we have to understand the importance of submitting to authority. In this message today, Dr. Miles Monroe is going to start by establishing what the kingdom is, but moving into the importance of authentic authority. You really don't want to miss this. And of course, that's why you tuned in. So we have some announcements prepared, and then we're going to come right back here, chat for a little while longer, and get into the message. Thank you so much for joining us today.
We were all created to exercise authority in our lives, and we are all answerable to some higher authority. However, our past experience with the abuse of authority, for example, control and manipulation, have produced life-draining emotions. Best-selling author Dr. Miles Monroe turned widely accepted but counterfeit concepts of authority upside down. His biblically based, time-tested principles will transform how you submit to authority and use your own personal authority. The purpose and power of authority allows you to recognize what true authority is, exercise your intrinsic power and gifting, no longer feel intimidated by others, become the leader God intended, live out your life's purpose, and tap into God's powerful authority and fulfill your destiny and potential.
I am telling you, it makes you want to run and get under authority. If you're not under authority, you will run to find, Lord, where's my authority? I'm ready to submit.
To order your copy, visit our website at www.bfmmm.com or visit a bookstore near you.
You've probably heard Dr. Miles Monroe say a number of times before that the Bible is not a religious book. It's a book that contains the laws of a country, the country of the kingdom of heaven. And it's very important to understand what the Bible is. It's very important to understand that the kingdom is really about a king and a royal family and their relationship to one another and their joint partnership in colonizing the earth for the home country, which is heaven. Dr. Miles Monroe establishes then what a kingdom is in this message and then goes on to explain to us that there's a distinct difference between power and authority. Power is a natural ability, a dynamic energy, a force. But authority is the legal right to exercise that power. And Dr. Miles goes so far as to say that if we are going to truly benefit from living in the kingdom of God, and if we're going to really, really be used by God to influence the earth, we have got to submit to authority, and not just any authority. He describes it as authentic authority. This is a message that you don't want to miss. So I'm so glad that you're tuning in. So we have some special music prepared, and then the next voice you're going to hear is that of Dr. Miles Monroe explaining to you what the kingdom of heaven is and the difference between power and authentic authority.
Let me begin with these statements about the Bible. Write them down. The Bible is not a religious book. The Bible is a legal document. That's why it's called the law of God. The Bible is not a religious doctrine, nor a religious document. The Bible is a constitution. It is the constitution of a country called heaven. And the Bible is about a king, it's about a kingdom, it's about a royal family. The Bible is about a kingdom that was established, a kingdom that was lost, a kingdom that was regained, and a kingdom that has already come, and a kingdom that is coming. It's a paradox. The Bible is not about religion. So I want you to approach the Bible with the right frame of mind. The Bible is a legal document. It's a constitution that embodies the laws of a country called heaven. And in this book, is all the details about the king and his kingdom. Now, the problem with this concept is if you were born in the United States, the word kingdom has no meaning as far as conceptualization. Because in democracy, there is no kingdom concept. As a matter of fact, democracy is completely opposite to a kingdom. And if you've been born in the democratic environment where your country is in democracy, the danger is you, when you read the Bible, you will superimpose on the Bible your democratic mentality. And you turn Jesus into a president instead of a king. For example, in democracy, the power is in the people. In a kingdom, the power is in one person, the king. In democracy, you vote. In a kingdom, there is no vote. In democracy, the people produce the law. In a kingdom, the words of the king become law. So they're opposite. In a democracy, you cherish private ownership. In a kingdom, you own nothing. The king owns everything personally. Now, I'm talking with authority because I was born in a kingdom in 1954. That's when I was born. My wife and I was born in a kingdom, and we lived in under a king and queen until 1973. We were a colony of a kingdom. And we couldn't buy land. The trees were not even ours. Everything in our island was called royal forest or crown land because you couldn't own anything. In a kingdom, the king owns everything. Write the word owner down. Owner. Let me give you the Hebrew word for owner. Write it next to it. It's the word A-D-O-N in Hebrew. Adon. You pronounce it Adonai. Write down what the word means. It means Lord. Lord. The word Lord means owner. The only Lord in your country is the one you're renting from. What is he called? Landlord. Why? Owns the land. See, you got that revelation. Okay, get that set. Okay. So when the Bible says the earth is the Lord's, that's not a religious statement. That's a statement of ownership. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and everything in it is his personally. God owns every bird. If you understand kingdom thinking, you'll never worry again. Worry is a sign that you are religious. When you are under the kingdom, you suddenly realize that nobody owns anything, so God could take anything from anyone anytime and give it to you. I'm talking to somebody already. If you don't understand this concept, the Bible makes no sense. That's why God told Abraham, come up here on the mountain, look as far as you can. Who's walking? The Lord. He said, as far as you can see, I'm giving it to you. He didn't tell Abraham there was Hittites, Moabites, Jebusites, and Canaanites in the land. He don't care. Y'all don't understand kingdom talk. That's why God will tell you to drive around this city, look at a building with people in it and tell you, that's yours. He don't care who's in the building. Different concept. And that's why when you claim to own anything in God's kingdom, he takes it from you. In a kingdom, you don't own. You simply have access. And that's why Jesus never taught prosperity. In a kingdom, you don't talk about prosperity. Everybody's prosperous. It is called commonwealth. The wealth is common for everybody. Oh, I can't get into that teaching. So the Bible is not about religion. It's about this kingdom. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 11. Let's read it together out loud, please. Go. But when the multitude knew it, they followed him. And he received them and spoke to them about what? The kingdom of God. And then he healed those who had need of healing. Jesus never healed first. He always preached the kingdom first, then healed. What he was doing is he was saying, another culture has arrived, and let me prove it. In the kingdom of God, there's no sickness. So he declares, the kingdom has arrived at this village. Let me prove it. And remove sickness from everybody. So miracles are simply evidence that another culture has arrived. Look at this verse, Luke 12, verse 32. Read out loud. Go. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom. Not a religion. To give you a country. Write this verse down, please. Matthew 13, 33. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman put in a large amount of flour until it works its way all the way through. You simply could say the kingdom of heaven is a culture that has influence. It's taking over everything. Look at this one. The word influence is important here. The kingdom of God was sent to earth to regain earth back for God and to influence the earth. And therefore, the divine purpose of God was to extend his culture from heaven to earth. That is the plan of God. Genesis chapter 1 is about what we call colonization. Colonization is when a kingdom extends its influence to a foreign territory. God created the earth to bring his influence to earth. That's why he put you here. Therefore, kingdoms expand their culture through this process called colonization. And the evidence of colonization is culture. If you come to the Bahamas, you'll notice you drive on the left-hand side of the street. Why? Because our kingdom from England drove on the left. You'll notice in the Bahamas, those of Bahamians, we drink tea four times a day all my life. Why? Because the queen drank tea four times a day. The king drank. So when they drank, we drank. Y'all don't understand what I'm talking about yet. When you are in a kingdom, you do exactly what the kingdom is doing, even though the kingdom is far away. You'll get it after I'm gone. In other words, we didn't need to go to England to be English. The culture took over our lives. So we speak British English, you know, jolly little chap, fella. That's the way we speak in our country. That's, we were taught to speak that way, you know. Why? Because when you are under a kingdom in a colony, you take on the language. Speaking in tongues is not a religious experience. Speaking in tongues is you regaining your old language again, that's all. That's why when you speak in tongues, you don't need to interpret for God. You interpret for earth. Amen. So a kingdom impacts a territory with culture. And that is called colonization. I want you to write this down. Very important. Matthew 12 says, Jesus is speaking now. He cast a demon out of a little boy. That little boy was set free from a spirit of the devil. And here's what Jesus explains happened. He said, if I cast this demon out by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived on earth. I told you that miracles are not supposed to be extraordinary. They are simply evidence that the country of God is in your neighborhood. The culture of heaven has arrived. Jesus never called anything he did a miracle. He called it work. This is the works of my Father. And when the people asked for miracles, he said, you are full of the devil. Only a wicked and an adulterous generation want to be entertained by miracles. These are not for entertainment. These are evidence of the presence of a culture. And that's why while I'm speaking tonight, you're going to get healed while I'm speaking in a few minutes. God's going to heal you because I'm here and the kingdom is being preached. And you got to prove that it's present by removing your high blood pressure, your diabetic problem, the growths in your breast, and your prostate cancer is going to be healed. If you believe that, it's going to happen tonight. I'm not playing games tonight. I know how this thing works. He said, the kingdom has arrived. Now, I want you to read this statement out loud. Here's the problem with the church. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we don't preach the gospel that Jesus preached. I'm talking to you pastors especially. Jesus never told us to preach him. I know that sounds tough, but you got to read the Bible. I love pastors, you know. You can hear their religious minds ticking. But didn't Paul say, I preach Christ and I'm crucified? Paul wasn't talking to you. He was talking to a few Judaizers who was attacking him because he wouldn't allow the people in that village to keep Judaic law. You don't believe me? Turn your Bibles to Acts, last chapter. Turn it quick. That's 28. Acts 28. Pastors, please turn that quick. Acts 28. Got it? All right. Read the last two verses out loud and let your neighbor hear you. Ready? Go. Read. And Paul dwelt two whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to see him. Stop. What did he preach? No, stop. What did he preach? No, stop. What did he preach? And then he did what? Then he preached about Jesus Christ. Now, those who have a computer Bible, go home tonight, type in kingdom, and check how many times Paul preached the kingdom. You'll be shocked. Look at this verse. Acts chapter 10, verse 7. Everybody read, go. Jesus speaking, go. As you go, Jesus said, preach this message. Which one? The kingdom of heaven has arrived. That word name means has arrived. Hebrew language. Ladies and gentlemen, look at the word this in the sentence. Underline the word this. As you go, preach what? Yes. This message. Why would Christ say this? Because he knew you have your own messages. He knew we'll develop our own messages. He said, keep yours, preach this one. The kingdom of heaven has arrived. Now, I want to show you how this relates to authority. The message of Jesus Christ is very clear. Look at this verse, Matthew chapter 3. Some of you are Baptists. Let's see what John preached. He was a Baptist. Matthew 3 verse 1, read. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, repent! Why? For the kingdom of heaven has arrived. And Jesus submitted to John. So what did Jesus preach? Matthew 4, 17, read. And from that time forward, Jesus began to preach, repent! For the kingdom of heaven has arrived. Matthew 4, 23, read. And Jesus went through all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. And then he healed the sick and diseased among them. Go back and just read the four Gospels. It's amazing what we've missed. Look at Matthew 5, 3, read. Blessed are those who are spiritually poor, for to them belongs the kingdom. Matthew 6, 33, read. But seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things you need will be added to you. Luke 4:43, read. And he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other cities also. Why? Because that is the purpose I was sent. The kingdom. The kingdom. Matthew 23:13, read. He's talking to pastors, bishops, apostles, anointed ones, dressed in robes and collar backwards, those who are in the ministry. Read together, go. Woe to you bishops and pastors and anointed preachers and those called evangelists and those anointed ones. Woe to you who? Teachers of the law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. Why? You shut the kingdom of heaven up in men's faces. You yourself will not enter, nor will you allow the people who are trying to get in to enter. He says the number one obstacle to kingdom is pastors. There it is.
We were all created to exercise authority in our lives, and we are all answerable to some higher authority. However, our past experience with the abuse of authority, for example, control and manipulation, have produced life-draining emotions. Best-selling author Dr. Miles Monroe turned widely accepted but counterfeit concepts of authority upside down. His biblically-based, time-tested principles will transform how you submit to authority and use your own personal authority. The purpose and power of authority allows you to recognize what true authority is, exercise your intrinsic power and gifting, no longer feel intimidated by others, become the leader God intended, live out your life's purpose, and tap into God's powerful authority and fulfill your destiny and potential.
I am telling you, it makes you want to run and get under authority. If you're not under authority, you will run to find, Lord, where's my authority? I'm ready to submit.
To order your copy, visit our website at www.bfmmm.com or visit a bookstore near you.
Everybody say woe.
Woe,
woe is a curse word in Hebrew. Jesus never woed a sinner. It's a curse word. It means damned you. He cursed religious leaders. Why? Because they shut the message up, will not go into it, and won't teach it to the people and keep the people away from it. He says, damned you. Take a deep breath. People come to me and say the silliest things. Pastors say to me, hey, I heard you're a kingdom preacher. My answer, so what are you preaching? Are you under condemnation? Totally stress-free. Because the kingdom keeps you stress-free. I like this one. Matthew 13:33, read. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. One day I'll come back and spend a day with you and talk about this one verse. It takes a day to explain it. Jesus created yeast. He knows what yeast is like. He said the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. That means its culture, once it gets into an area, it begins to spread. And you cannot stop it. Yeast works very quietly. You never hear it working. And yeast engages the dough, but never becomes dough. The dough becomes yeast. That means you mix with the world, but never become like the world. You change the world to become like you. Everybody say yeast. I like this one. Matthew 13, it's a tough one. Read out loud, go. And he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to those outside. In other words, there's some secrets that you're supposed to know about the country that others don't know that makes your life different on earth. Here's one for you. Matthew 16:19, read. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So that whatever you lock up on earth will be locked in heaven. And whatever you open or allow on earth will be allowed in heaven. That's what he means. This has nothing to do with demons. Read the whole chapter. He's talking about the authority you have in bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth through learning the keys, the laws, the principles that make it work. Hallelujah. I'm working on a book right now. It'll take me 3 years to finish it. I'm researching every key that Jesus gave us. Every key, every detail. I'm going through every line in the four Gospels. Because he said there are keys. I know some of them and they're working. But there's some you got to look for. I'm going to give you one of them tonight. And don't you ever forget it. Because it's the key to your long life. I want to talk about this key tonight. Now, here's something that you probably don't know because you're born in democracy. So write this down. In democracy, there are three keys. There are many, but there are three keys in the kingdom I want you to learn tonight. The first key is the crown. The crown of a king represents power. Write that down. Everybody likes power. So the symbol of a king's power is his crown. You didn't know that. Secondly, in the king's hand is always a censor. The censor represents influence. That's why there's always incense in it sometimes. And you see pictures of kings in history books holding this thing in their hand. That's a censor. It means the king has influence. It's another symbol for glory. Glory is the influence of a king over territory. That's called glory. It means the imprint or the impact of the culture. Glory is not smoke in a room. Glory is evidence of the presence of a culture. So when you study history, you read terms like the glory of Rome, the glory of Greece. What they're saying is the culture of Rome is in a place. So when God says, I want to fill the earth with my glory, he ain't talking about smoke. He's talking about the culture of heaven coming to earth. And in heaven, there's no sickness, no disease, no marriages broken up, no divorce, no incest, no poverty, no lack. He said, let that culture come to earth. That's why God doesn't want to give you money. Because you can lose money. He wants to give you the culture of wealth. You don't understand the statement. Rich people never talk about money. Only poor people. When you sit with rich people, they'll never talk about money. Poor people talk about money. Wealthy people talk about ideas. Ideas make you rich, not money. So I can tell where you are in life by what you talk about. If you talk about food and clothes and money and cars and houses, in God's mind, you are poor. Are you all ready for me? You ready? Christ says, why do you worry what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear, how you will live? He says, only pagans pray for those things. The largest gatherings of pagans takes place every Sunday morning. Are you sure you want me to teach on the kingdom tonight? Then he makes it worse. He says, take no thought of these things. He just destroyed your prayer life. You don't read the Bible. You are never supposed to come to this altar praying for money. Never. You are pagan, he says. Which means there's something Jesus knows that you don't know. And that's why I'm here. Amen. He sent me to give you a little glimpse of kingdom life. He said, your father knows what you need, so don't bring it up, he says. at Matthew 6. He said, but all you're supposed to do is seek first the kingdom. Get in the country, he says. Get under the culture. And all these things that you go after will come after you. Are you ready for a higher kind of life?
Yeah.
You know, my wife and I, we try to explain this to people. It's tough. Our house is paid for, never prayed for it. Got an aircraft parked right there, never prayed for it. All cars paid for, never prayed for it. School tuition, kids paid for, never prayed for it. We don't pray for money. You don't pray for money. We built one of the largest buildings in the Bahamas. Even the government uses our building. They rent from us. Never pray for the building. Kingdom life is stress-free. I can only beg you to get the books because I can't teach you this stuff in a few minutes. But if you ever get it, Satan can never control you again. Now, the third thing that a king holds in his hand is a scepter. The scepter is the king's authority. Now, let me say something very important. All kings have these three symbols in his hands: the crown, the censer, and the scepter. What is the crown? Power. What is the censer? Influence. And what is the scepter?
Authority.
Now, the most important one is the scepter. Because a king can have power, but no authority. A king can have influence, but no authority. Let me explain how this works. Very important. Let me show you how important scepters are. Read this verse that you never read before. It's found in the book of Esther. But I want you to write down these three things: power, influence, and authority. Genesis chapter 49. Let's read that first, verse 10. It says, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet." Notice God didn't mention crown or censer. Once you got the scepter, you got everything else. There are some powerful people in the church who have no authority. Oh. So don't be swayed by people's power. They may not be authorized. Christ talks about them when he says, many shall say, didn't we cast out demons in your name? And didn't we heal the sick? He said, yes, but I never knew them. They weren't authorized. Don't get excited for people who wield power. They may be illegal. Selah. Look at Esther 4, verse 11. Esther figured it out. Esther says, all the kings and officials of the people of the royal province know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner courts without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he must be put to death. Esther says, my God, if I go in there, I could get killed. But look at the next statement. She says, the only exception to this is for the king to point his scepter at me, and I'm safe. Wow. I need two more days. See, yesterday, they don't understand what happened to you. You don't even understand what happened to you. That's why I came. You had power before yesterday. You are functioning on history. History is over now. You had influence up to last night. People respected you. But that's over now. God put something in your hand last night that everybody better be careful how they handle you now. She used to be your mother. A person under authority is more dangerous than a person with power. Because a person with authority don't even need to be in your presence. They can say go and someone goes. They can say come and something comes. Some of you pastors in here, you have no authority. Why? You ain't under nobody. I'm not impressed with your preaching. That's why pastors fell. Either under no authority or unauthentic authority. Look at this statement. Psalm 45. David is the king now. Read verse 6. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. Watch him now. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. Not a crown. Not your censer. God, your real power is your authority. Look at this verse. Psalm 110, verse 2, read. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, and you will rule in the midst of your enemies. God said, David, I'm going to give you authority. And you will rule your enemies, not with power, not with power. The devil ain't afraid of your power. Do you understand? I remember reading the story of Moses coming before Pharaoh. Moses comes with his little stick. And he said, God told me to tell you, let the people go. Pharaoh says, who is this God? And Moses said, let me show you. And the rod became like snake. Pharaoh didn't move. Pharaoh says, bring my boys. I told you power ain't a big deal. And they threw their rod on the ground and it became snake as well. The devil ain't afraid of your power. But what the devil didn't know, that Moses didn't come in power. He came in authority and his snake ate up their snake. Authority will eat power. Somebody say amen. See, there are people who've been around you the last few years for the wrong motives, wishing you would die too. But it's too late now. Y'all better go ahead and give God some praise. Hey! Authority will eat power for lunch. That's why I'm not impressed with all these young ministers coming up, preaching on TV and things. They got no authority. They're not covered by anybody. Not submitted. Never confuse power with authority. And don't pursue power. Pursue authority. Who has authority? Get under them. Write this down, please. Very important. And this is key. This concept is one that you need to get. Look at Luke. Jesus said, I confer on you a kingdom, just like my Father conferred one on me. Confer means to literally extend authority, delegate the authority of a country on a person. Now, there are two types of authority. There is personal authority, which is you, which is what you exercise as your gift. And then there is divine authority, which you submit to operate your gift. Let me say it again. One of these you were born with. The other you got to pursue. You were born with an area of gifting that's your area of authority. But you need to get under divine authority for it to function. Most people think that their personal gift is enough. I could sing, I could preach, I could talk, I communicate. Yeah, but that's only your personal authority. You got to now find someone to get under for that thing to function properly. Oh, God. Are you getting me here? The devil loves for you to leave authority. Because now you ain't got no covering. He'll eat you for lunch. Write this down. Personal authority is your legal area of domain. In other words, God gave you an area of gifting that you are authorized to function in. And that's a natural gift. Authority is therefore your natural area of gifting. It becomes normal for you. You're authorized to do it. For example, a bird has authority. What kind of authority? To fly. So it is authorized to fly. That's why if you and a bird sit on the roof of your house and both jump, someone goes down, someone goes up. Who goes down? You. Why? You ain't authorized to fly. You laugh at that. That means if you are doing something you ain't authorized to do, it will kill you. Don't try to imitate other people's gifts. It will destroy you. Don't try to be like nobody, including your spouse. Be yourself and protect your life. Oh, man, I tell you. You say it's awesome. Yeah, I know it's awesome, man. I live it every day. You all see what I'm doing yet? Don't try to do this. I'm like a bird flying right now. You all think I teach long? I just fly long, that's all. But I don't teach sermons, you see. I explain a country. And that's what Jesus did. Every power gift of ability, write this down, needs authority to function legally. And that's my point tonight. Every power gift needs authority to function legally. Every power gift needs authority to submit to function legally. And the church has not learned this yet. And that's why we got some folks who left this church to start their own ministry without permission. And they are in a storefront with three people, including their wife. And God ain't never gonna bless it. Your power gift cannot survive. You're a wise woman. You stay under good authority. Stay related to good authority. You'll be safe all the time. And then you'll have authority. And that's the problem with the church. We don't want no pastor to tell us what to do. This is my life. Careful. God called me. Careful. Remind me of Miriam. See, Miriam had power. She even had a group along with her. And she went to her brother and said, who do you think you are? God could speak to me too. And God says, move on the side, Moses. I'm a killer right now. Do you know who protects you? The very person you are jealous of. Authority protects foolish power. Moses had to save her life. Is this good?
Yes.
Write this down, please. Authority comes from an interesting word. Author, authority, authentic, authorization. They're all related. Let me put it in a sentence. When the author gives you authority, then you are authorized to be authentic. A bird is authentic flyer. You fake it. He goes up, you go down. So when you try to do something that you weren't born to do, you fail and the other person succeeds. So in the body of Christ, don't get jealous of successful people. Because you don't know why they're successful. They are in their authentic self. Don't try to be like them. Authority is not power. Let me define the two for you quickly. One, power is ability. Write it down. What is power? Ability. It is energy. It's enablement. The Bible calls it the anointing. Because you are anointed doesn't mean you are legal. David said about Saul, he is God's anointed one. But Saul was living in sin, out of God's will. He said, but anointing is on him. That's why there's some folks who are messing up. They're homosexuals. They commit adultery. And they're still preaching. And people still getting healed. And you still going to the church. And you know the guy sleeping with the organist. And he makes you shout amen when he's preaching. Why? He's anointed. But he's illegal. God left him long time ago. Oh, Jesus. And that's why the church is so gullible. We are attracted to power because we don't like authority. So, but that was a powerful message. That was a powerful message. Yeah, but is he legal? What does he sleep with? What is he smoking? Don't confuse power with authority. What's authority? The right and permission to release responsibility. In other words, it's the right to use power. Authority is the legal right to use power. God gave everybody power. That's your natural gift. But you need to have authority to be released to use it. And this is why we must be careful that we are under the right authority. Amen. Now, I'm going to close, even though I'm not finished. But let me just close on Jesus. Because I think Jesus is a good example. Jesus is a good example. By the way, I think I better read this for you. The Western world is suffering from lack of authority because we are suspicious of authority. Do you know why? Because we've been abused by people. We don't trust hardly nobody now because everybody we had, they abused us. So we're afraid to submit to a pastor anymore. And so we are suspicious. And so we're lacking legitimate authority. And the most important place for you to be is under authority, but you don't like it. The secret to my success in life is I am under five men who watch over my life. They can call my wife anytime and ask about me. They can pull me out of the pulpit any day and tell me stop preaching, those five men. Those five men can call my kids and ask them, what kind of father am I? Those five men can go to my cell phone and check all the numbers, go to my website and see where I've been visiting. Are you under authority? Take a deep breath. That's authority submission, see? Some of these men and women who have fallen, they make me sick.
They fall on Monday and keep preaching on Tuesday. Somebody got to stop them. Some of you are wondering why I am not on TBN. I refuse to go on TBN. I say it publicly because TBN has compromised. I will not promote foolishness. Don't keep company with disqualified people. What did I say? Say it loud.
Don't keep company with disqualified people.
There are some people you're not supposed to be with. And that's why the world is messed up. The world don't respect the church. The world got more respect for authority than the church. When Madoff messed up, the world went after him and put him in jail. Your pastor messed up and you still singing in the choir.
I know that you heard something today that if you apply it, it's going to change you. And that's the goal of this program, to bring you the principles of the kingdom of heaven so that you can get them and apply them and bring about sustainable change in the world around you. I'd like to recommend this particular book today, The Purpose and Power of Authority, Discovering the Power of Your Personal Domain. It's by Dr. Miles Monroe, and it's a great book to read just as a follow-up to the message that you heard today. Also, if you want to order this teaching or any other product, please call the number on the screen. If you understand that prayer is your legal right to petition your king so that he can interfere on your behalf in your earthly affairs, and you want agreement for prayer, then please, you can also use the digits on the screen. I'd like to wish the entire Commonwealth of the Bahamas happy 39th independence. It's coming up, of course, this week. Next year, we celebrate 40 years as a nation. I tell you, a whole generation. We've got to really, really get it together now more than ever to be able to influence our nation. When we look at the crime that's happening, all of the social ills, when we look at the crises that are occurring in almost every sphere of our society, we have got to get it together as kingdom citizens. Seek first the kingdom of God. Understand what our personal domain is, what our authority is, so that we can move in that authority and bring about the change that God wants to see. He works through us in the earth realm. So we can't be blaming God for the stuff that's happening. He's waiting on us. As we celebrate this 39th independence, let's also celebrate far beyond and above that the fact that God colonized our hearts, that the King of Heaven colonized earth with his culture, and that's exactly what he wants us to do. Oh boy, we got to make the next 40 years count. So happy independence to you, and happy colonization to those of you who are part of the Kingdom of Heaven, and that's all of you if you choose to be. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Living Effectively. Until next time, continue to follow the King. It's the best thing that you can do for your life.
Thank you for joining us today on Living Effectively. For copies of this program, the complete teaching series, books, CDs, DVDs, magazines, and other resource materials by Dr. Miles Monroe, or information on seminars, conferences, workshops, and itinerary travels to your area, visit our website at milesmonroeinternational.com or bfmmm.com. Email us at info@mmi.com. And remember, our mission is to help you live effectively.